Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan session for Thursday, the 3rd of July now. So we've got, I suppose, very interesting market dynamics for a few reasons. More so the fact that we've got this bullish undertone and quite difficult data to kind of get to grips with and to read and to understand exactly what is going on beneath the surface. So what we're finding is a lot of that just gets pushed to one side, and some of the this window of opportunity we keep talking about just continues to just even yesterday after the off the back of yesterday's ADP numbers, we're expecting a certain outcome. And that still took 2, 3 hours before we started to see that sort of bullish equity move and also weakness in markets like the dollar. Now, so really that's market not moving in line with our expectations in any sort of reasonable time frame, and just reverting back to type almost. And we seem to be in that kind of phase as things currently stand. Now, our two open trades, we're in profit on those trades. We're hopefully likely to make some more profit between now and this afternoon. We've got important non-farm payroll numbers. We'll see if we can keep hold of these trades and look to ride them into tomorrow's markets, which is a bank holiday in the US. So we've got a few things to digest, and to just let you know that the data that's driving these markets is not particularly clear. So we are dealing with slightly challenging conditions, you could say. All profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? How do we manage each trade? Of course, we've got the ability to look at trade management now with the S&P. We even had a bit of a move in US oil yesterday as well, which is good. It's obviously what we're looking to do, and the move in the equity markets can drag those markets higher as well, along with trade and psychology. So with this in mind, we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. That's the first thing. So it's really about the practical application of these things. And we're strong advocates of maintaining a degree of consistency. No matter what's happening, we'll still look for the same type of opportunities. Accuracy with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's have a look at some of this somewhat confusing data. And I mean, there's loads of it wherever you happen to look. So, job openings came in surprisingly higher. Now, the rate at which people are being employed is lowering. So again, that's a strain. That's kind of a conflicting message almost. However, according to these figures, there's a sizable uptick in the number of jobs that are being advertised in the US economy. So, okay, you kind of take that on board. And then yesterday we were expecting a strong 99,000 job number. This is private sector. This is ADP non-farm employment change. And we actually saw a reduction in 33,000 jobs, minus 33,000. So obviously that's 132,000 jobs swing to the downside, which is an indication that that's a problem. That could potentially start to become a bit of a problem. And the reason for that is today we've got ADP, sorry, we've got non-farm payroll, NFP, and the ADP number, it doesn't generally have a huge impact on non-farm payroll. But this number, this really negative number, and you can see the last time we were in this little phase, going back to 2022, and this was when we had weakness in the equity markets. We had the Fed start the tapering, of their bond buying program and tapered down from 120 billion in January to zero at the end of March in 2022. And this was at a point when inflation was rallying really, really aggressively. So this was the whole debacle around the inflation narrative, where the transitory inflation narrative, that's the word I was looking for. So the Fed were talking about transitory inflation when we were watching these inflation numbers in the US tick dangerously high. They were sort of 5, 6, 7%, and all central banks were sitting back saying, don't worry about it, it's just transitory inflation, we'll be back to 2% before we know it. Ironically, we're still not back to 2% in the US, however we are, you know, seemingly inching closer to it, but now we're 3 years down the line. So and this is where the Fed lost a bit of credibility. But what we saw from ADP number was a bit of a reaction, you could say, February 2022. And then it brings us to now. And if we zoom across, this is the first time since that day where this number is now turning negative. So compare and contrast that just very briefly to non-farm payroll numbers. And we'll have a look at the chart here as well. So we got quite close in November 2024. Let me see what that number was. Yeah, so we only had 12,000 jobs added at that point. And this is the same period in February of 2022. So look at the difference between the ADP number, the private sector number at that point, versus the number that we actually got in non-farm payroll, which is the public sector number. You can see it's kind of worlds apart. So we saw a massive negative number in ADP and a massive positive number an outrageously positive number for 2 months there, at the same time that private sector jobs were actually, you know, struggling. So how much relevance will it have to this number? Doesn't really have to have a huge amount. Just heard this morning that the whisper number is about 96,000 jobs to be added. So that takes us into, that takes us into the lower end of these numbers for the last little while. Apart from this, not too sure why this number was so low. There's a lot of outsizing some of the actual prints are either hugely above expectations or significantly below. Last time out, above expectations, but a little bit more conservative. We'll see now, we're expecting this lower number. The whisper number is about 80, 96, I believe. So what we can probably do is expect, you know, somewhere around 100,000 jobs. The forecast is 111. So on a broad base perspective, yes, job numbers are getting weaker, but we're still on the on a net by net basis, we're still on a relatively strong trajectory as far as jobs are concerned. Now, it looks like we're going to be getting a 10 basis point increase in the unemployment rate. So the question is, what does this mean? Yesterday for ADP numbers, when we got this number, we said if it comes in negative, that, you know, significantly negative below this number, that this could be conditions for the Fed to increase rate cuts and potentially in July, the meeting at the end of the month. And that would be a net positive for markets, not a negative. So going into this news event, there was a lot of weakness in the equity markets. And once we saw this number, we're thinking, right, okay, well, this is the market conditions are a bit messy at the minute, but this is potentially a good thing for equity markets, because it means the Fed are probably more likely to cut more often, which is stimulative. It has a net stimulative effect. So if you go from yesterday morning, we were looking at 3 rate cuts. If that shifts to 4 rate cuts, then that's significantly more dovish than we were just 2 weeks ago. And this is why some of the data, you know, you don't want to react and don't want to be knee jerk, but we saw a very, very strong pivot in the Mag 7 as well. So that should drag markets like our gold market further to the upside, which would be a good trade. So we are connected to the trade, but we didn't load up yesterday. So within here, we've got the Swiss franc, which is CPI numbers. And you can see we were in negative territory. So if we look at headline CPI for the Swiss economy. Okay, we're a little bit more flat. So towards the end of last year, we were certainly in negative inflationary numbers. Then you get this strange massive spike for some reason, and then flat line. And there was concern that this number would come in negative, and it hasn't done. So it just means that we probably don't need another cut for now, or an emergency cut from the Swiss National Bank, which is already down at the lowest levels at zero. We're already at zero for the Swiss National Bank. Now, there was some discussions around whether the Swiss National Bank could take these rates into negative territory. Now, it puts the Swiss National Bank in quite a difficult position. With these rates at zero, and we'll have a look at the Swiss franc, because it's been a net gainer really for quite some time. It's probably been flight to safety trade of choice, and it's because the central bank have been reducing rates very, very aggressively back to zero. Let's see how long it takes for these other central banks to get much, much closer to zero, and how far off zero will we actually be when all said and done is another interesting question. Okay, not a huge amount of any major interest between now and non-farm payroll. That's really going to take center stage. We've also got the unemployment claims number in there that's sort of compacted in. Unemployment claims, anything around 240 seems to be pretty stable. And that's what's expected. ISM services numbers are expected to come in mildly positive as well at 3 p.m. And really, that's pretty much it for the week, with a bank holiday tomorrow in the U.S. being Independence Day. So let's translate some of this information. By the way, from a bond market perspective, we kind of have let me get rid of this. So we kind of have a little bit of softening again. We have a little bit of softening again, lower highs, lower lows. We had a little bit of a bounce yesterday. We were saying, could this feed into the dollar strength trade? And the answer is no. So we've kind of rolled back over to the downside. So as this weakens, we probably expect the dollar to continue to weaken as it rolls over. Okay, so, and the other thing as well, just behind dynamics behind these bond yields, is that they're a good gauge of risk, and the risk really seems to be coming out of these markets, and we're now edging a little bit closer to those important lows, which means it's a kind of a green light for equity markets again. Right. So yesterday, the pullback in markets like the Aussie dollar and the New Zealand dollar were unfortunately just too large for us to stay in those trades. So there's a stop loss for us is the line in the sand at which we're no longer interested in trading those markets. We're no longer interested in being in those markets. And unfortunately, we crossed those levels yesterday, although we did bounce back. So what we continue to have now is still a strong support and resistance, except we've got new highs and new lows. So it would mean a slightly wider stop loss, but it's a trade that we can continue to look at. We don't need to sort of turn away from it wholesale, you know, and we could wait for other opportunities. We're up at these significant highs for the euro dollar and the pound dollar. Sorry, the euro dollar, yesterday's sell trade was really quite, it was really looking like we were going to make that sort of pullback trade, and it started to bounce off its lows around the times, you know, post these ADP numbers. The pound is now back. The pound has its own problems, more politically, but Rachel Reeves is being kept despite some of the difficulties in rowing back some of the budgetary concerns around the UK economy. And we still might see these bond vigilantes come back strong if they believe the economy is likely to be mismanaged. So we've switched to a risk on market condition again, post this non-farm payroll. This ADP number. We've kind of switched a little bit more bullish. Now, we do have to be a little bit careful because this is one of the most significant news events of the calendar month this afternoon at lunchtime. So we're going to be watching the data point very carefully. We'll know and understand exactly what we're looking to do depending on the number. So we always have an expectation around these big news events, and that will determine whether our expectations for further upside are actually whether we get a bit of a pullback in these trades. So I'm sure we're going to get some volatility this afternoon, and we've got, I'm sure, going into that event, if we get another leg to the upside in markets like gold, we'd be able to mitigate most of the risk on the trade. That would be the plan. And then last but not least, crude oil. We had a good strong rally yesterday. It's worth just sharing the crude oil inventory number. So stockpiles came in. There's a very, very significant, you know, 7 million barrel swing in stockpiles. So we've kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, if this moves higher, it's more to do with sort of ongoing conflict around, you know, the Middle East and what impact that could have on oil prices, versus the drill baby drill mantra, which could see these prices lower. So we're in a bit of profit. We're not in that much profit. We can still expect a little bit more upside from here. So let's see if we get that opportunity or not. If we do, if we get above the 200 daily period moving average for crude oil, we would certainly expect our take profit to be hit, at which point we'd probably look to mitigate risk on the trade. So we're trying to mitigate risk on the trade on both of these trades as quickly as we possibly can. Elsewhere, we're already up at significant highs. So we could look at like the NASDAQ maybe, see if we want to buy all-time highs. It looks like that's the trade. Yesterday, it was looking a little bit not so favorable until those ADP numbers hit. And it still took a little while to sort of make progress to the upside, but that would be our bias. So we're a little bit more risk on again. So, and just before I go and just edit our trade plan, it's really just leaning into this risk on trade, and which means indices up, dollar down, which is pretty much what we have. Also lower bond yields. And look, this is your commodity play. So that's why, it's one of the reasons why we're in oil and gold, because you're getting that depreciation in the dollar. And it's driven by a number of factors, more of a dovish Fed now than what we had just 2 weeks ago. The potential, I mean, inflation is still performing well, and we still have fairly decent and low unemployment, although that could change this afternoon. We're in negative territory, but it's pretty much viewed as a soft landing. We have positive economic data in other areas. There's been a positivity around Donald Trump, and we still have this, well, we had a really strong bullish reversal yesterday in those AI stocks, those Mag 7s. So really, The risk on trade is alive and well, although it's really quite precarious. And some of the data, as we mentioned earlier, is not particularly clear. So with all that in mind, we'll still navigate around these markets. But, you know, yesterday we were looking at a mixed market dynamic. So now we can look at a little bit more risk on. Again, we're back to risk on market conditions. So yesterday we were saying, look, maybe we'll get the indices rallying, but maybe actually the mixed part of the dynamic would be the dollar was looking like it was going to strengthen for a little bit yesterday. We can kind of remove that. Risk on market dynamics. So that headline yesterday kind of sticks in our head, which is markets they fear missing out on the move more than they fear tariffs and the downside of tariffs. And we would say that's okay for now, but that might come back strong next week. Now, that's the beauty about us as traders is because we can navigate this. We can be buyers now, we can be sellers tomorrow, or we can be sellers on Monday and Tuesday of next week. So we've got that flexibility. I'd be a little bit more concerned if I was kind of a buy-only trader. Now, saying that, every time these markets pull back, there are opportunities to load up again. So, interesting market dynamics. So, there's just a broad-based positive market sentiment that's driving. So, US indices strength. We can have a look at now dollar weakness and we'll see where the best opportunity there is. Weakness. And we keep our options open with crude oil. Yeah, probably best to keep those options open. Gold. So buy trade above 33.59. Can have a look at that. Right. Okay, so let's post that into the chat box then. There's a couple of opportunities there to kind of focus our mind a little bit. Let's post this into the chat box so you can take this information away. This is what's hopefully going to keep us on the straight and narrow, looking for opportunities that we intend to trade. So we talk about an awful lot about make sure you're making decisions for the right reasons. Make sure you have your supports in place behind the trade. It's not just cherry picking an opportunity here and there. You get pushed around these markets so easily. And be very sort of disciplined with your capital, of course. But in terms of your decision making, be deliberate. That's one of the main features of these markets is be deliberate. If you're going to look to sell the dollar, then look for those types of trades. If you want to buy the dollar, like we were looking at yesterday, that opportunity very nearly revealed itself. It didn't quite do it, but it very nearly did. Then you really want to try and just target that type of move and be deliberate in that decision-making process. Okay, good. Listen, we'll let you guys go. Thanks very much for joining us. We're definitely on the risk on side of the equation. Certainly up until non-farm payroll, that then may very well change. We want to try and mitigate risk if we can today on oil and gold. And we'll see if we get the moves that we're actually intending to capitalize on. So look, thanks very much for joining us, guys. We'll see you next time. For everyone here, Those of you that can join us for the European training session will be there now in just about a minute's time. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye for now.